The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 507. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, we got a four-man crew as of the moment. Chris will join us later, he says. Brett will not join us, and Brian, who knows? He may show up, he may not show up. We shall see about that. So you're stuck with the four of us for now. Before we start, we'll give a quick shout out to Barry Burton. We were just talking about you, man. I see that you made it to Comic-Con this year. I didn't. I was about that life. I didn't go, you know? Neither did Manny. this is actually the first time.
Not by choice.
Yeah. This is the first time I haven't been to Comic-Con. I think the last time I didn't go to Comic-Con was like 2008. And that was because I had this fucking foot infection of all things and I couldn't go. Since like 2008, I've gone every single year. But this year, here's the thing, I've had diminishing returns for years now, you know? The fact Manny's out there is like, fuck's the reason for me to even go, you know? But obviously we used to go there all the time when we were just regular folks before we were in the industry, spent all weekend there, you know? And obviously in the industry, we were both there constantly doing our thing. It's really not what it used to be, you know? And also just speaking for myself, I'm not really interested in a lot of the new stuff that's going on. I don't really care about new comics, new movies and TV shows generally don't interest me. Because it's really more of a pop culture show than anything. So it's like, I don't even cover video games as much. And even video game things, there are slim pickings. Maybe this year, I've been so busy, I just didn't bother registering. Maybe next year. But even then, think about this. For the last 3 years that I've gone for like maybe an hour at most, you know? I think last year I literally went just to like link up with my boy, George, and then we left. I was there for like 5 minutes, you know? But if you did go to Comic-Con, I hope you guys had a great time, you know?
Apparently, we are Negan.
What do you mean?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we are. Anyway, we could pimp it. It's all good, you know? We could pimp the show. Throw Down Coalition are always associated, so I don't mind.
We should make that into a T-shirt or something.
I am Negan.
That's a great idea.
It's got a crazy good logo. I wonder who designed it.
Excuse me. All right, man. With that out of the way, let's get into these questions, man. A Syrian Air Force starts us off this week. With Spider-Man 2 not getting DLC, do you think Insomniac Games will instead create an offshoot standalone game featuring Miles Morales or maybe Venom? Manny, I know you have some thoughts about this.
I mean, to be honest, like, I think in general, like, even though they didn't directly say it, there's so many things that were suggesting possibly some DLC coming in the future. But my guess is I think that your thought is right. I think what's going to happen is that all of that is going to be put into a, you know, spin-off game, just like what happened with the Miles Morales game. I think it's going to be another Miles Morales title, you know, since the last time, you know, they say, you know, Peter is going to be taking a break or something like that. They sort of suggest that in the game and the previous one. So my guess is that I think that this will be, it might be a sequel to that, you know?
Yeah. Because remember,
but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
because we also don't know. We don't know how long it's going to be to take to make the Wolverine game. You know, possibly 5-6 years. Don't know. You know, then especially with all the leaks, they may have pivoted and changed the whole game around just because of it. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. It's like, yeah, even though I think they have a claimed date of 2025, they probably won't hit that. And having a like 5-hour standalone game like the Miles Morales game could be a nice stopgap. So this is just us speculating, obviously. We don't know. But we do know for a fact, and Insomniac officially said no DLC for the game. So maybe, and this is where I'm just putting my 2 cents in, maybe they're like, we're not going to have DLC because we want to have a standalone small game instead to give us buffer for Wolverine. Again,
and I mean,
go ahead.
And they—I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but they already had a Venom level in the previous game, so it feels like it's like just a natural step to
create. Mechanics already there.
Mm-hmm. They got all of that, so you know, creating a small Miles Morales type Venom dedicated game, I feel like would be a good quick thing to do that would probably work out pretty well because they've already done it.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So that's what I think is going on here. Rich, what are your thoughts, bro, on the fact that they announced no DLC and then the possibility of a standalone game instead? Because remember, standalone is not DLC technically. So they could be not wrong about that, you know?
I think you guys summed it up perfectly. I know that Tony Todd has said before that I don't know what the percentage of recording that he did, but he said he recorded a whole bunch more stuff they didn't use in Spider-Man 2. So, I think a standalone Venom game in between Wolverine would be great. We know Spider-Man 3 ain't coming for a long time. So, and if Wolverine is indeed 2026, then, they'll probably have something like this drop sometime next year.
Yeah, that's what I think is going on. All right, yeah, good question there. I didn't see it, by the way, I didn't see the reactions on Twitter to this. I don't know if it was positive or negative. Rich, I know you have your pulse to the heartbeat of the gaming industry. So how did people react to this news? Because it happened during the weekend, you know, the announcement.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was some complaints about it coming to PC. You already know that going to be a complaint. And yes, a lot of people didn't like the fact that there is no DLC coming. But obviously, these people must not know how Insomniac operates, the fact that they have standalone games that they create. So I think they'll be happy next year. And again, remember what Sony told us. We have no major games dropping this year for first party. So next year, I think they can definitely have something dropping because the other studios, whatever they're working on, I have no idea when any of that stuff is going to come out. So, this makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it wouldn't surprise me if we do get a Spider-Man standalone next year. They could have been working on it this entire time without telling anybody, you know? So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it does, you know? Kishak goes, I thought people hated Spider-Man 2, so why would they be upset over no DLC? Spider-Man 2 was like one of the best-selling games of that year, so I don't know who those haters are, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there might have been haters, but the game just still did well.
Didn't they announce it sold like 10 million copies? That's a lot of love there, you know?
And the critics were really positive about
unanimous
the game,
praise. We liked it here on Throwdown. So I don't know who these haters would be, unless they're Xbox, you know? Salty they didn't get the game. By the way, speaking about Xbox, leads us to our next question. Segway Kings. All right. How well will Black Ops 6 sell since it's on Game Pass? Will it drive up Game Pass subscriptions or hurt sales? Again, this is the eternal question. I've been asking this for a while now. Like, you know, I would imagine that since it's on Game Pass, that physical sales may go down on Xbox, at least, right? For PlayStation, you may still get because there's two ways to come at this. If PlayStation guys don't decide to get an Xbox to migrate over, to play Call of Duty, I think you're probably going to see the same amount of sales on the PlayStation side. And if this game's really, really good, you're going to get strong sales on PlayStation. However, you may get lower PlayStation sales if those guys decide to get it on Xbox. But you have to think, why would you want to get it on Xbox, right? Because correct me if I'm wrong, as of this moment, they haven't said they're going to be getting shit before PlayStation, right? Like get passes and all this shit. Has anything like that been announced? I'm going to guess not. Nobody answered.
No, it's coming to everything day one. So yeah. There is no incentive aside from if you have Game Pass, then you get it for free, depending on what tier of Game Pass you have. That's the other thing I'm confused about, the tiers.
Okay, so Rich, they don't have the whole early access 3-week shit like PlayStation used to have. You don't have any of that?
Oh no. Mm-mm.
Interesting. Okay, I'm glad you cleared up. Okay, so if you're a PlayStation guy, on the surface, you could be like, hey, if I get this thing on Game Pass, I don't have to pay for it. But if you don't own an Xbox, you're paying $500 plus a subscription to get this game. Why wouldn't you just play it on PlayStation, right? All that was just to say, I don't think you're going to have PlayStation guys migrating to Xbox since there's no incentive to. Again, the main incentive of you only pay $15 a month is negated by the fact you have to buy a $500 console, you know? Now, Rich, the question is, unless you want to say something real quick.
Oh, no, continue. I have a prediction as to what's going to happen. Continue.
Ooh, okay. So keep that in the bag. Andre, what's going on, brother? And remember, I will have you on Thursday, sir. Okay, Xbox side. This is where it gets interesting, right? If you're on Xbox and you always bought Call of Duty, why would you bother buying it now if you could get it on Game Pass for $15 a month, bro? So I think on the Xbox side, you will see diminished physical sales. Not and why would you even buy digital? You have no incentive to. You know, again, remember, Manny, what have we been talking about? Now companies are flat out saying, you don't own this fucking game if you buy digital.
Yeah.
You know, so... Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andre. So, yeah, I think PlayStation sales will remain steady, especially if the game is really good. But Xbox physical sales and even digital sales will be diminished because you get the game on Game Pass. Rich, what's your theory?
All right, this is going to be controversial. I know Carlos likes when I say it's going to be something controversial, but I will be controversial with this.
Let's go.
My honest prediction... This game is going to sell better on PlayStation 5. And let me explain why that is. PlayStation, obviously, is the top-selling console. I'm not saying that every PlayStation owner is going to pick up this game, but I kind of feel like a good amount of the audience, even if a good amount of the audience picks up the game, is going to sell better because, you know, Xbox doesn't count sales. They're going to count Game Pass subscriptions. So it definitely will do well on as far as Game Pass is concerned on Xbox, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, I'll just download this off of Game Pass. But in terms of the physical sales, I think PlayStation 5, it can definitely sell better on that platform.
All right, Richard Billy Jr.
Yeah.
Richard Billy Jr. Tony, I got to cut you off because I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say, Richard, and you said it's controversial. Let me just respond with that with this. Because that's exactly what all of us have been saying, and I'm pretty sure Tony's gonna say, "Yep."
Well, I was actually about to say that you literally just said what I said 2 minutes ago, but more eloquently, more succinct, which is interesting because I'm usually the guy. Yeah, remember, Rich? I said you're gonna see steady sales on PS5 and lower sales on Xbox, which means. Mm-hmm. I just didn't say it the way you did. Yes, the PlayStation 5 version will absolutely sell more than the Xbox version. No question about it. No question about it. Because again, if you're on Xbox side, why would you buy physical or digital? There's no incentive to.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's no, like, there's no incentive to go and buy, to invest in another console, spend another, you know, like you said, spend another $500. And then a subscription cost. No, people are just going to stay where they are.
Yeah,
it's not going to cause anybody to go over.
And now, if you're on Xbox, you're not going to buy digital physical either. You know, you don't need.
You're not going
to
buy. Yeah. So if anything, they better hope that it causes more people to invest in their in Game Pass, because otherwise, because here's the thing: like if they if it if the way this works, and I know a lot of people would be pissed about that, is if they locked the garden. If they just said, no, the only place that you can get this is on Xbox.
Yeah.
That's the way you get people to go over.
But they're not doing that. Incentive, so,
But they're not going to do it, because the whole reason why they're not doing is because they can't guarantee those sales.
That's right.
They need PlayStation to make them some serious money, because they're not going to do it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting, because, again, I don't think this is going to drive up Xbox subscriptions, Game Pass subscriptions. I really don't think it's going to move the needle in that end. If you're on Xbox, you're already getting the game effectively for free if you're a subscriber. So, and I don't think, maybe there's going to be some normies, but even they would have to buy an Xbox for the first time, you know? So, go ahead, bro.
And I will say that I think a lot of the Call of Duty heads, the hardcores, the dude bros, those dudes, I feel like Game Pass isn't going to sway them more than where their friends play. So if they're people who play on Xbox and their friends play on Xbox and they bought Call of Duty on Xbox every year, then they might consider Game Pass.
But Carlos, it's cross-play. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's cross-play. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go where your friends are, because you're good, you know?
There's one thing, though. If you're on PlayStation and you play with your friends on PlayStation and you use PSN chat to talk normally. Yeah,
that's right. That's maybe a good point. But
that could be one of those factors.
I agree with you. Although, from what I understand, people still use Discord overall, no matter what platform they're on, you know?
That's a good point.
But you're right. There's still going to be those people. If you're on a PSN chat, you're good. You're not going to migrate, you know? Great point. Yeah. But overall, yes, Rich, we all agree with your controversial statement.
we're all controversial.
Yeah, we're all controversial tonight, you know? all right, man. Good stuff there. Moving on. Cuban Boss. What's going on, brother? First question of the night. Part of the EU deal for Microsoft to be able to acquire Activision was that Microsoft was selling cloud gaming distribution rights of Call of Duty to Ubisoft. Has that deal fallen through? All I keep seeing are xCloud or Xbox Game Pass ads, though I will admit it would be weird to see Ubisoft's logo next to a Call of Duty game. Okay, I had to look this up because I honestly didn't know, because if you haven't been watching Throwdown since we covered all this, I'm not really interested in it. I don't care. But I looked it up. No, the deal went as stated. Ubisoft will distribute Xbox games or Bethesda games through the cloud, but it seems it's the King game, which is interesting. So I want to read this real quick, because I want to really just be sure we hone in this. Shout out to Windows Central here. Who wrote this? Oh, my man Samuel. What's up, bro? That's a good guy, man. Good guy. What you need to know, Call of Duty Black Ops 6 will be available day one on Xbox Cloud Gaming when it launches on October 25th. Microsoft was forced to sell off the cloud streaming rights to Activision Blizzard King games to Ubisoft, meaning the company has to pay Ubisoft in order to add these games to Xbox Cloud Gaming. Xbox Cloud Gaming is included as part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which also includes day one access to new Xbox first-party titles. Diablo 4 was the first Activision Blizzard King title added to Game Pass, but the hack-and-slash RPG is not available on Xbox Cloud Gaming right now. Interesting. One of the biggest games of the year will be available, blah, 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 whatever. Call of Duty coming to Xbox Game Pass. Xbox Cloud Gaming is available through Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, Microsoft's gaming subscription service, blah, 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 blah. Let me read this last part. Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda Softworks titles are available through Xbox Cloud Gaming, but Activision Blizzard games aren't guaranteed. This is because Microsoft had to sell the cloud streaming rights to these titles to Ubisoft in order to get the acquisition of Activision Blizzard approved by the CMA, the UK regulatory body. So it did happen, which is kind of interesting, but no one's really talking about that anymore. I wonder if Ubisoft's going to use that to make money, because, you know, they're not doing very financially well right now, you know? So to answer that part of the question, the deal didn't fall through. It went through. Everything's going as is. But I don't see how, I don't understand all the particulars here. I don't see how or if this would affect you know, Call of Duty on cloud service. I don't.
I'm not sure. Yeah, a lot of that stuff. I'm not too sure how it interacts with Call of Duty. But I feel it's kind of weird how Ubisoft is the one that gets to claim this.
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah. But apparently it was part of, like, they needed to sell it to them in order to get the deal through, because remember, the whole deal was like they thought Xbox was going to have a monopoly over streaming, mm-hmm. you know? So they were like, yo, Ubisoft, you want a piece of this, bro? You know?
and now that Ubisoft is failing to the ground, I wonder, it's like Microsoft's like, oh, we're going to purchase them because we're saving them.
Oh, shit.
And now back to this. Ground zero.
Yeah, you know, Jay Shep ain't going to be happy to hear that.
Oh, Jay Shep is going to be livid.
He's going to be investigating again, you know.
And Adam's going to be texting us all of the court hearing things.
Oh, man. But yeah, we'll see how this all pans out. But yeah, as of right now, I guess this is for the EU, right? It's not for America.
Yeah, it's just the
EU. Yeah. Right now, yeah, the deal went through. It didn't fall through. It went through. All right, man. Next question here. This one's off topic. I mean, the rest of these aren't really, the rest of these questions are like kind of random, but we like random. What are some gaming announcements that could excite you and deflate you right after? Example, Sega announces Virtua Fighter 6, but it has outsourced development to Grove Street Games. Yo, what was it? There was one announcement this year. It was either this year or... Was it Dragon Age that where I was like, oh shit, it's like, oh, what the fuck?
I think it was Dragon Age.
I think so. But yeah, I know that's a good candidate where it's like the shit gets announced. It's like, whoa, shit, this is crazy. And then womp. I remember I said this. Did we live stream that by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know it was during a live stream where I remember saying this exact line. I said, I have never gotten so hard and so flaccid in the space of 10 seconds, you know? But yeah, that's a big one right there. Dragon Age. And then you saw that reveal trailer, that Fortnite ass looking shit. And there was I know there was another one too, where it's like they announced it. Go ahead, Rich. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I know what other one you're referring to when they announced the Batman Arkham game and said, oh, no, this is a MetaQuest VR game.
Yeah, that's a good candidate right there. and Rich, you know what's always a perpetual good candidate? When they announce a franchise you've been waiting for forever, followed by coming to mobile. Womp, womp, yeah. Womp, yep. Womp.
Tony.
Yeah, go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, hold on. One is at three?
All right, three.
One, two, three. God Splinter of War. Cell.
Yeah, it's Splinter Cell.
Oh, No. Remember, God of War, they announced God of War. We thought it was DLC. Well, we thought it was like a proper DLC, but it was that stupid, what do you call it?
That was it. That was the announcement. Yes, where they announced God of War free DLC. Fuck. Oh, it's some fucking roguelike shit. Womp, yep. Womp, 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 womp. That was the Game Awards, and we did live stream that shit. You know, but the reason I bring up Splinter Cell, because that happened one year, Rich, remember we were both at E3 for that one. EA, Manny, you were there too. They were like, new Splinter Cell coming. Fuck! Coming to mobile. Motherfuckers. No! My ass got burnt in the sun for that announcement, man. Shit. That was a funny story, by the way, you know, because Ubisoft was having their presentation like outside. So I get myself like in a nice shaded area for getting Sony. Tony, the sun moves, bro. My ass got cooked, you know. but yeah, thank you for reminding me, Rich. That was the biggest. That was insane. Because like, think about it. God of War Ragnarok, free DLC available today. Fuck. It's just like Hades, bro. Yeah. No.
Pero why?
You know? Oh, man. But the question is more hypothetical. Yeah, I want to stick with Virtua Fighter 6 for a while. Virtua Fighter 6 mobile. Fuck, that would piss me off. Or worse, Virtua Fighter 6. Because this has happened too. Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. Oh, shit. Coming to pachinko machines, you motherfuckers. You know, so imagine do that shit with Virtua Fighter 6 pachinko. And don't, and listen, they pulled that. Okay, here's some fun facts. Fucking SNK pulled that same shit with King of Fighters. A brand new King of Fighters game was only available in the pachinko machine. It had a brand new story and everything. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? But that would piss me off. What about you, Manny? What would simultaneously get you hyped and then like deflated?
I mean, stuff like, yeah, definitely stuff like that. Or it was just like they take a new franchise that you had been waiting for a while, and then just turn it into into something like a mobile game, or some really lousy game studio, like Metal Gear Solid by the people that didn't bring you Abandon. It's like, what the fuck? They probably would never hand it over to them, but still, yeah.
I feel sorry for the Marathon fans. Imagine you've been waiting for Marathon, boy. You heard that announcement. Look, Marathon, let's fucking go. It's a snooter shooter. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah. Especially when you, I guess it's been so many years. So many, like all the Marathon fans are all old now.
Yeah.
So it's
that
like
one guy still waiting,
Yeah. I mean, it was great for the time. Unfortunately,
Yeah.
They let time go by so much.
Yeah. I never even heard of that game because I was not a PC player.
I mean, it was more of a it was actually a Mac developed game.
That was
the big thing about it. It was because it was something that was on the par of System Shock, but it was made specifically for Mac.
Yeah, okay, that explains it all. Because again, I know about System Shock and Deus Ex and Thief on PC, even though I wasn't a PC gamer, but obviously I didn't know any Mac gamers growing up. The only person I knew who had a Mac was Rachel, our friend Rachel. Anyway, any other hypothetical announcements that could get you simultaneously hyped and then demoralized?
Yeah, I was thinking about Cuphead, if they announced Cuphead, but it's actually just like generated like any other game. Cuphead was drawn.
Oh, you like 3D and shit?
It was just a 3D generated game on Unreal or something like that. It's like, you're just using Cuphead. And it feels like it'll feel like the life of the soul of the franchise is just taken away.
Yeah. What about you, Rich? Any others, hypothetical ones?
I was going to say Splinter Cell because
they've already done that.
We've already experienced that announcement. So,
Yeah.
I have to think about that.
Yeah. All right. It's good enough. Oh, there's Chris.
Oh, there go Chris.
Chris.
Hey, Chris. I'll wait for him to say some.
I'll answer for Chris in the meantime.
Yeah. By the way, Kish, I got a good one. A Bloodborne remake coming to mobile.
Or VR. There you go.
VR.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you now, man. No, we were just asking, the question was what kind of announcement could get you simultaneously excited one second and then completely deflated the other? And one of the best examples that, Rich brought up was like when we heard about the free God of War Ragnarok DLC, we were all hyped, and then it's like, oh, it's a roguelike. It's like, fuck, man. or Chris, or one of our personal favorites one day, when Ubisoft finally has a new Splinter Cell coming to mobile. Like, fucking shit.
I felt that way about Metal Gear Acid. I didn't know what it was, and I was like, oh, is it a Metal Gear game? They're like, it's a card battle game, and I was like, not what I want, man. Yeah.
And Chris, another example I brought was like Metal Gear Solid 3 running on the Fox engine coming to pachinko machines. Like, fuck. Yeah. So what would be one for you that would just completely get you hyped and then deflate you?
Like a real example or just a
hypothetical? Hypothetical.
Man, let's say they put out Resident Evil 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say if they do not follow the what they set up at the end of the main game, not the DLC, the main game, if there's no Chris Redfield in that game, that is a huge fail. They set up something in there that I'm like, you have to follow through on this. Like, you have to commit to this line of action that you set up. This guy wants blood. And then if they drop that ball and it's like a new character or whatever, I'll be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Kishak asked, Does anybody remember Metal Gear Survive? Me and Carlos wish we could forget.
Oh, I tried the demo too.
Yeah, all three of us. Then we streamed that shit.
We streamed it. Yeah,
we streamed
terrible.
It. That video's still up on the channel too on our YouTube. Terrible, terrible game.
Didn't Manny play with us also? Or was he?
I played a demo of it.
That I think it was just us three. Yeah,
we were just playing the demo. We didn't play the actual game.
The demo was all we needed. You know.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, that was bad.
We just need it was just confirmation, you know.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. All right, moving on. Next question. This one's a sponsored question. Drunken Demon, who's a great guy, fantastic accent. He's sponsoring one of Cuban Boss's extra questions. Star Citizen just had its CitizenCon event. In it, they showed Squadron 42, and people online were really excited about the presentation, especially at the 50-minute mark where they showed actual gameplay. My question is, do gamers have short-term memory, or is this not one of the biggest scams in gaming? How does this game even get a whole convention show? Yeah, this is the biggest scam in gaming, absolutely. The biggest grift, if you will. You know, these guys are making more money keeping the shit in development than they are actually releasing the game. You know, they've made a shit ton of money. And Manny, they made so much money, they can afford a fucking convention, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's like, you guys paid for this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, as long as they keep everybody abreast with builds and stuff like that, and, you know, and other things like that, I guess it keeps it going. That's the one thing difference between something like, you know, some of those Kickstarter things. Once they get their funding, there's no real significant updates, right?
Yeah.
These guys are specifically updating things in the game, and people are seeing where it's going. So I guess that's how you keep it going, huh? You keep the money flowing.
Yeah. Rich, Chris, you were going to say something?
Oh, no. I just don't understand how you have a convention for complete vaporware.
Yeah.
I mean, they've shown just like alpha footage and all this shit. If Brett was here, he could go on a better rant than I could, because he actually looked at this shit. I've seen very little, but it's like there's no game. How do you have a convention and celebrate something that doesn't actually exist except for reels and demos and, I don't know, the fuck Squadron 42? How did I know? You don't even have a game.
I don't get it.
It sounds like a crypto convention.
Yeah. Man, but yeah, it is the biggest scam in gaming, absolutely. Crazy. A Citizen Con for what? For vaporware, bro?
Yeah, and I don't even to be fair to them, at least from my perspective, I haven't seen much. I haven't been keeping in touch with anything with Star Citizen in the past year or so. So I don't know how much they've done. Like, I know, because I know back, you know, a couple of years ago, people would post videos of them, you know, playing whatever the hell build, like Chris mentioned, they had available. And it's like, it was expansive, but like, it felt like you're playing a huge, large tech demo, not an actual game. So I don't know how much they've advanced, but it's crazy how it's been sustaining itself with just this. So either we're missing out on something, or there's just a huge swath of delusional people out there that are just giving money, you know, carelessly to this company to just keep going. I don't know. It could be either way, but yeah, it's just crazy how Star Citizen is probably older than Throwdown is at this point.
Yeah.
And we still haven't gotten an actual game.
It's insane. By the way, Kishak says they had a live demo that crashed during the event.
No.
And people are still fucking funding this shit. By the way, what did you call them? Carlos, you said a bunch of delusional people. I think it's a very generous that's a very generous term for these folks. I'd call them something else. Idiots. You know, morons. Hell,
hey man, you know,
I'll even use a word we're not supposed to use anymore. Retarded, you know. Demonetize us, YouTube. There you go. It's fucking insane.
Oh no.
It's insane, bro.
Yeah, I mean, if someone hopefully someone that's listening to Throwdown Grifton is in this community.
That's what they should have called it.
I hope someone that's in the know of this can enlighten me, because I really wish I could, because this is one hell of a fucking Ponzi scheme from at least from our perspective, it looks like.
I said it's a grift, so. GriftCon. Just call it GriftCon. I think your analogy of this being like a cryptocurrency convention is spot on, bro. You know,
because it's vaporware. It's like we it's still it's something that's being promised to people, and it's just, you know, at least crypto you can sell it right away, and you know, if it goes up in price, you can sell it right away. But most of the time, it just goes down, and you know, for different types of things. And Star Citizen is just something that has been promised for such a long time, and it just hasn't been there. And it's been over a decade, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, it has. It has. Kishai says GTA 6 will release before Star Citizen. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
That's not even controversial. That's a fact. That's a factual fact.
That's Richard Bailey controversial.
That's exactly. You know? Yeah, so Rich, what do you think about this GriftCon, as I like to call it?
I was surprised that this project still exists. I mean, it never released. Anytime I heard about it, this is still in development. So very surprising to know it has that much fans behind it, but very interesting.
You know, Hassan's looking at this shit pissed. Like, man, they beat me at my own game, you know, because they're at least able to monetize their scam, unlike him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Feels like Duke Nukem took too long. Yeah, Duke Nukem took less of time than this shit, you know?
That's true.
Crazy.
Yo, Deep Down will come out before
this. Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Citizen Con. You got to be fucking kidding me. More power to him. Where the hell was this shit held? Let me look. Citizen Con 2024. Was there a 2023?
Maybe. They even had a ship there, too. They had a replica ship and, like, the whole thing. They did, like, a whole walk-in and everything. It looks like it's inside of, like, a hangar.
It was in the UK. Maybe that's where Brian is right now, you know?
I love that. It makes sense why Brian wants to leave.
Yeah.
I'm at Citicon.
And apparently they're delaying next year's till 2026. Fucking grift, bro. What a grift. All right, man.
Yeah, this is all Tony, you said a whole bunch of words that you thought it was. I think this is a more accurate. We'll see. I'm not the whole knowledge base of this, but this is sounding cultish.
Man, you are not
you hit that nail on the head.
Yeah, I think that's what it really is.
I was going to say it feels like a religion. It's like Scientology for Star Citizen.
Yeah, because even a stupid person couldn't keep going on like this. But if you're if this is like your religion, you have that conviction, then you'll believe, you know?
Yep.
But yeah.
They keep serving up they keep serving them little meals, so.
Yeah.
So they seem to be satisfied with the hors d'oeuvres.
So yeah, they had it in Manny's favorite city, Manchester. So there you go.
Manchester, England.
I want to go watch it now. I want to go watch a Premier League game.
Oh, all right. Moving on. Kishak got a couple questions from him, and obviously shout out to him who's been hanging out with us all night. All right, first up, both of these questions are controversial, by the way. I wish Brian was here for these, but we can answer them just as well. Do you guys feel that achievements on PC like Steam, Uplay, Origin, etc., don't feel as rewarding or good compared to consoles? They feel really bland when you get them. Also, anyone on PC can easily hack in achievements like Steam, for example, where there is an achievement unlocker. I haven't seen anyone out in the real world bragging about Steam levels or Steam achievements compared to Platinum trophies or Xbox achievements. Why is that? We've spoken about this many times. I personally don't feel that Steam achievements are as satisfying as on console because you don't hear any audible thing whatsoever. However, if you're playing a game on Steam Deck, you do. You get a nice little whatever when a thing pops up. So now it is it's just as satisfying unlocking a Steam achievement as it is an Xbox achievement, but still not as satisfying as a PlayStation trophy. Because with PlayStation trophies, you know what you're going to be getting at the end of that road. You know? You ain't getting no platinum. You get that
platinum.
By the way, your boy got a platinum today, son. Let's go.
Oh,
I got a platinum for
where you get that in.
Yeah, I got a Marvel vs. Capcom collections.
Oh, nice.
And obviously, you know, we all whoever played it got the Astrobot platinum. The next one on my deck is Street Fighter VI. I'm very close to it. And if I'm really dedicated and I got to go back to it, Stellar Blade Platinum, you know?
Uh-oh, so we'll Stellar
see.
Blade.
We'll see what happens with that. So, yeah, I agree with the general consensus that it's not as satisfying. But I know if Brett and Brian were here, they would say these achievements are better because you actually earn real rewards or something. I don't know how that all works. So, Carlos, I don't know how it all works. But, you know, for me personally, I don't care about earning rewards. I just want, like, a good, like, checklist of things I've done in the game. And if I get a platinum, even better, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the rewards, I'm not too familiar with them also because I don't really pay attention to them. But I can explain sort of part of the satisfaction of achievements and trophies. Number one, achievements were the first ones to do it, like, in that way. So I feel like they're kind of more the pioneers, or at least the ones that made it popular to do these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was bragging rights in the console wars against PlayStation. It's like, we got achievements. You ain't got shit. You know, you barely got online on PlayStation 3. And that was the bragging right. And it was really satisfying. Like you mentioned that sound.
Yeah.
When you get an achievement, it's really satisfying when you get an achievement. And that's number one. Number two, PlayStation copied the formula back when a whole bunch of ponies would be like, achievements are trash. It doesn't mean anything. Now, you know, but Sony copied the whole formula and marketed it better than Xbox did.
Yeah.
So that's their you know, claim to fame when it comes to these trophy/achievement things. Steam, it just seems like it's just there.
Yeah.
Like it just exists. I feel like it doesn't really, I don't know, they just don't advertise it as well, whether it's through the way in the interface where it shows up, it's just of a number with a circle, or the way that it, like you mentioned, when it pops up, like when you're playing a game on Steam, you can barely tell when you get an achievement on your PC. And so I think it pops up in the bottom right, if I recall.
Yeah, bottom right. And you know, to your point, again, I had, you know, because I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom first on PC, and I was getting some achievements. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's cool. But I started getting the same trophies when I'm playing. I'm like, ooh. So, yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to get the platinum on this shit. I could get 100% on the PC version, but what's the point, Carlos? I'm not going to get the same satisfaction, you know?
Exactly. Like, the platinum is, it's the ultimate, pun intended, trophy.
You know?
And with Steam and let me know if I'm wrong. I don't like they don't do the whole thing that PlayStation does where they had like a screenshot with the trophy. I like the way it's configured. Like it just looks like it's a library of your of achievements.
Yeah.
Like it just looks like really well crafted the way it's presented to you. And on Steam, I don't really see that. Or maybe that's because it's just tucked in on another corner of your profile on Steam.
Yeah, it's not as easy to access, and you're right, it just looks nice on PlayStation. Even Xbox achievements don't look as well organized to me, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, that's one of the reasons. Again, we've talked about this many times, but this is the first time Carlos and I could, you know, gush about these without Brian and Brett butting in.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't like, you know, I mean, Brian likes trophies, obviously. He's got a fair hand full of platinums, but he is—he likes Steam achievements because you apparently get like real world rewards. I don't know what the fuck they are, but there you go.
Yeah.
Yo, Carlos, is there enough for said the rarest platinum will be Concord? You know, I don't think anybody got that platinum.
I mean, if there are people that have that platinum, they're it's rare to go to space than to do what you just did.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yeah, more people have been in space than that. Oh, man. Anybody else want to jump in on the whole Steam achievements thing? Chris, what are your thoughts? I know you like getting your trophies, too. Your platinums.
Oh, yeah, PlayStation. It matters, and I see what he's saying, because you could easily mod a Steam game or use trainers or whatever, and whatever pops isn't satisfying. It's not real, yeah. You know? I care about PlayStation because it's like, you did that. right? You had to grind that out and you get that platinum. It's so satisfying. So to me, the PlayStation achievements, that's legit. That's bragging rights. Steam, I don't even care when they pop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's inconsequential. All right, man. There you go. Now, this one is very controversial. Why are so many PC gamers diving into the console wars this generation? I thought they saw themselves above all that, avoiding debates with quote-unquote console peasants. But now, especially since the PS5 Pro reveal, they're jumping into the fray in full force. You barely saw this last generation, and it was even rarer during the PS3 and Xbox 360 era. What's changed? Ooh. Have you guys noticed this? I haven't, but I have a theory as to why. Rich, you want to go first? Have you seen any of this?
Well, let me just say one thing. The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
PlayStation games will come to PC now. So I think that's a reason for, because I mean, a lot of people I know that have a PC, they've always wanted to play Spider-Man. They want to play a lot of the Sony games, but they didn't want to buy a PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 4. So the fact that those games are coming to PC now, I mean, I kind of feel like that's probably giving them just a little bit more bragging rights for the PlayStation fans that bragged because their games were only on PlayStation at a point in time.
That's a good point. Manny, you ready to say something? All right. Here's what I think is happening. And it's kind of like twofold. One is that even though obviously a dedicated gaming PC is more powerful, PS5 Pro kind of inching up there. It could be a viable option to some people who just don't care about all the other benefits you get from a PC, right? So maybe that's why this conversation has kind of started in a way. And two, and this is what I really think is going on, I think it's console guys going, yeah, man, I don't need a PC. Man, I could get the same shit for $700. And the PC guys are like, you guys are stupid, you know? So maybe that's why what's really going on here. And also potentially this too, maybe some PC guys, I'm not saying everybody, but there may be a small fraction of PC guys who may be like, fuck, I just spent $4,000 on this fucking rig. These guys are getting really good performance with $700. That's probably very, very minuscule, but perhaps that's there. But I think it's really more that the console guys are probably egging on the PC guys. You know, the PC guys are like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You know? I will see about that, Buster. Awesome. You know?
yeah.
What are your thoughts, Carlos?
I feel like the number one, The biggest argument that PC guys had back in the day is power.
Yeah.
I feel like. So they always touted that, you know, PC master race and stuff. But now there's just so many more people on PC than there were back then. And then there's been just so much type of parity in terms of just games are kind of expected to be on everything now. And, yeah. You know, back then there were like actual AAA PC releases and that weren't even expected, like, you know, World of Warcraft, like that, you know, that was expected to come out on PC and nothing else, or StarCraft. And now it's like those types, I don't know if those particular games are ever going to come out on Xbox and PlayStation, but at least, you know, like Diablo, I'm just mentioning Blizzard games at this point.
Yeah.
But now, you know, they're more, you know, they're going to, looks like they're going to be releasing on consoles as well day one. And now console games, like, you know, like you mentioned, like Spider-Man and God of War, those are coming out on PC as well as all the Xbox games. So, you know, there's just so much more parity in terms of the conversations that are had between PlayStation, Xbox, and PC players that it's just inevitable to have much more conflict.
I agree. Yeah. So in that sense, it's not really that PC guys are jumping into the conversation. It's just that the two worlds are kind of merging more than ever. So those conversations are just naturally going to happen, you know. But obviously, there's still mudslinging and all that from both sides because this is what gamers do, you know. Yeah. All right. So, Manny, you got any thoughts on this?
No, I mean, you said it all right there, man.
Cool. All right, man. Unless we get any more questions, this will be the last one for the night. From Mr. Tumeke. Now, this is a question he had for us from last week that I didn't get to. Remember, people, if you drop us questions after 10 p.m. Eastern, I probably won't see them. So get them questions in before 10, you know? All right, he actually had two questions, but one of them was, "What's a game that you like that? What's a game that you like that everybody hated?" That's a favorite question among people. I noticed that this question gets asked every 6 months or so, and we've been doing this show for 10 years. You know, the question show. So, and we get it all the time, at least minimum once a year, but at least twice a year we get this question. This is a popular one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the one me, Manny, and Chris always bring up is the order.
You order 1886.
Yeah. Yeah. But we admit, you know, the game has its faults for sure. Not perfect.
It has its faults, but I feel like, you know, that's nothing a sequel couldn't fix.
Exactly.
The game did well.
And also, remember, a lot of the problems with the game is what people brought into it. They thought it was a four-player co-op. Nobody ever told you it was, bro. You brought that in. You know, but again, the game does have obvious faults. The fucking final boss is the same. You fought that motherfucker 2 hours beforehand. It's the same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but we're not gonna go revisit that road. But we will probably revisit this question again in another 6 months. Again, a very popular one.
Now that can't even happen because Ready at Dawn is gone.
It's over.
Ready at Dawn is one of the studios that Meta closed down. You know. It's unfortunate because it's like they were legit a really good company that made some really cool games. But once they made that VR game and then, you know, Meta/Facebook saw them and just essentially started throwing money at them. I don't see, you know, I don't see a lot of these studios sticking around. I don't like right now, you know, you're seeing news about the new Arkham VR game, I'm guessing. No matter how good that game is, that Camouflage made, I don't think that Camouflage is going to be long for this as a studio very much longer, just because of the way VR is, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We know they made Chains of Olympus or in Ghost of Sparta, great games, you know?
Yeah, and the Daxter game, yep. And I think they did the Agent Clank game as well. So they had some really good titles. You know, Order 1886 was like their chance at doing a big title.
Yeah. All right, man. As for the main question here, hearing that Tony has reignited his love for fighting games, does anyone else have a similar experience where a game genre system has reignited their love for a game type or gaming in general? So yeah, what about you guys? Is there an instance where you may have fallen out of favor with gaming or even a genre? It's like, oh shit, I'm back now, you know?
I can't say I've fallen out of favor of a genre, but like I would have to say when we played Streets of Rage 4 again, it reminded me, it was a good time. It was nice to play that sort of game again, you know, the sort of beat 'em up that we sort of grew up on. You know, but obviously modernized, you know, for modernized with, you know, levels and all kinds of other funky things. But genuinely, I would say it's not that I fell out of favor. It's more like no beat 'em ups were being made anymore, you know?
It's true. And that game kind of reignited a mini, you know, beat 'em up revival. You know, we eventually got Turtles out of that and all that. So that was good.
And they have like a Toxic Avenger one coming out and there's a G.I. Joe one coming.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Shinobi's coming back, you know? Even though
that's not really a beat-em-up. That's a side-scroller, though.
Yeah. Didn't Double Dragon come back? It came back a couple of times, I believe, different iterations.
Double Dragon came back a couple of times. There's a new 3D version, and then, you know, the River City Girls.
That's right, you know,
of the River City Ransom, you know, things. So they've all been sort of coming back. You know, those games are not like a huge investment as far as, you know, games go, so you can push them out pretty damn quick, and then, you know, the quality of the work that's being done, a lot of them is very good. So
since you brought it up on that topic, and I don't want to end the show too early again, I've been listening to a lot of the Triple KO podcast with, you know, Justin Wong, Maximilian, and all these guys, and they had an episode where they talked about beat 'em up games because there's a lot of cross-pollination between fighting games and beat 'em up games. Remember, think about it like this. Final Fight was originally the sequel to Street Fighter, you know? When Final Fight did so well, they were like, hey, make another one of those, you know, for the kids. Like, no, we want to make a real sequel to Street Fighter. So there's also cross-pollination. So the point is like those kind of side-scrolling games and fighting games kind of have a lot of symmetry. Although there was one particular I want to point out that always annoyed me. Street Fighter 2010, the final fight. This game was neither Street Fighter nor Final Fight. What the fuck? You know? Oh, man. But anyway, to answer the question.
It was a platform.
It was a platform, yeah. But yeah, it was. Oh, anyway, the reason I got sidetracked. Manny, on that episode, Justin Wong was on, but they had a guy from Way Forward who worked on River City Girls and stuff. So he was just talking about the games that inspired him and, you know, some of the things that are fundamental to side-scrolling beat 'em ups and stuff. And during one point, Max brought this out, and it's kind of true. He's like, if you think about it, arcade games were kind of pay to play back in the day because the first couple levels were easy, and then they get you, and then you are hooked. Put in those fucking quarters, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why games were so difficult then, you know? And the guy
from Quarter Munchers,
yeah. And the guy from Way Forward brought up a good point. It's like that same difficulty translated to home consoles, even though it didn't need to, because they weren't trying to suck up your quarters. But that thing just kind of translated. Yeah. And even little things, Chris, mm-hmm. like, you know how, like, when you do a super move and then you lose some of your health, it's like, why is that translating to home consoles? It makes sense for an arcade. You want to suck your quarters, you know?
But the worst is that consoles translated the countdown clock.
They
it's
did.
Like, what is
why?
Ticking down? What is killing me?
Yeah.
Right? I only have 90 seconds to get to the end of the stage. What the
fuck? Like, why? Or fucking continues. Like,
yeah.
Why? They eventually got rid of all that shit, obviously. But, you know, now we're actually able to beat those old side-scrolling games that we couldn't beat before, you know? Punisher, for example, that's on the Marvel's Capcom collection. Infinite continues. You're good. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But regarding this question, I'm gonna answer this for Brett, who's not here. He obviously would have told the story better. But when Rachel passed away, he was, you know, very despondent, obviously, you know, very out of it. And he kind of lost a lot of love for gaming, you know. Main reason he still stayed on the podcast is because he wanted to hang out with us and stuff. But what brought him back was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for the Switch. That game really reignited his love of video games as a whole, you know, and now he's back to, you know, being, you know, Brett, obviously. So yeah. Dumeke, I hope you heard that. There was a time on Throwdown where that game was getting a lot of love. Granted, it was balanced by me hating on it, but still, it was getting some love. Me and Carlos hating on it, let's be real, you know?
Yeah.
The punk-ass graphics, well, you know? Go ahead, Carlos.
Well, and shout out to Brett. That's a good one. And if you're answering for Brett, then I'll answer for Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Rich, it's Concord.
Rich is right here, though. Rich, it's like that, Brett Concord.
Carlos is like, for the homies who ain't here.
Man. I didn't know this, Rich. That's an interesting story.
Carlos is a comedian. Yes. Concord is the game that I discovered. Yes, there is a such thing as disliking a lot of flops, and that was definitely the flop of the year.
That game was so awful. Rich may have hated video games for a second. You know?
Oh yeah. It definitely, if you like a hero shooter and then you see that game, no more hero shooters after you see that. So that's like the general consensus.
But Carlos, I want to hear your kind of story, if you have one, because like me, you know, gaming has been very disappointing for the last two generations. Has anything reignited? Actually, I think I know the answer, but keep going.
I'm pretty sure you know. There's one game that I feel like there's a couple of games sprinkled in throughout the last couple of years that have, you know, reignited sort of my love for gaming. And, you know, have created like pockets where I'm like, damn, like this is how it felt when I used to play back in the day. Monster Hunter World was definitely one of them. Playing with the fellas, it's like, damn, like can't wait till like we come back to go play this game so we can hurt some Nergigantes and do all this stuff, get some Japanese in the party and tear shit up. That was fun, man. And, you know, that's why we're so hyped up for Monster Hunter World or no.
Wilds.
I was about to say Rise, but that
no,
one's
not that, that one. Not one. That one.
Yeah, that's one disappointing. That's one super hyped up time when we got disappointed right after. that was one of them. And but one game that like it just changed everything, where I'm like, man, this generation sucks, but at least this game exists. Like this game kind of made it worth it to be in this generation, even if everything else was ass, which it wasn't, but a lot of it was. And that's Elden Ring, man.
Yeah, man.
Elden Ring, it gave me new life for video games, where I'm like, man, like I just all I want to do is wake up and go back to this game and play it, explore it. Just like, obviously, like, and you talked about Brett's story. Mine obviously isn't as deep as Brett's, because you know that one was, you know, just pretty deep.
Yeah.
But for me, I just remember Brett talking about Breath of the Wild and how he would talk about how the game just made him want to explore the world, and how the lore was incredible, and how, you know, all the positive things that he had for that game. I always wondered, like, because I didn't see the same things, because we played Breath of the Wild and we had like a different experience when we played it. But when I played Elden Ring, that's the experience that I had. All the talking points that Brett would mention when he would talk about Breath of the Wild back in the day, that's exactly how I felt about Elden Ring. And the DLC, Shadow of the Erdtree, was amazing as well. You know, and the thing with that game is it did two things that I love. It's got the single player game and the world you can explore, and everything just doesn't seem like it's wasted, and it's creative, and it's got its own style and everything. But it's also got the multiplayer aspect, where it puts people together, and it's just, you know, playing with the fellas, you know, doing all this thing, beating a boss, wondering why Chris's bosses were harder than when we did them, but Chris is better than us. Well, we know that was because he was a new game plus three.
You know,
but it you know, that game, it's like, I feel like that's the pinnacle of what a perfect game, like that's a perfect game for me. Even though I can name flaws from the game, but you know, that's a Carlos perfect, to quote Tony. Elden Ring is the one that just, you know, even though with the ups and downs of the generation, all the complaints that I usually have about it, Elden Ring is one of those things where it's like it makes it feel worth playing.
Yeah, though you could have completely written this generation off if not for that game. That game, yeah. And even though it is technically a last gen game, it's special, man. You can say it about, because you know we're the from Software Brothers around here. You know, we've been playing these games together for a while, but that one, you know, to quote the kids, hit different. You know,
it just hit different.
It's what I wanted Breath of the Wild to be, actually. You know,
yeah.
So fucking good.
It doesn't have weapon fragility either.
Nope,
that's
nope. They got rid of that shit. Like Tony been complaining about this. Get rid of it. You know,
rid of that shit.
Yeah, man. Chris, what about you? Got anything that kind of either a genre that I brought, like that, you know, you came back to, or maybe gaming?
Well, I have been disappointed for first person shooters in the years between Halo Reach, and then I would try like some of the Call of Duties and stuff. It's Battlefield Bad Company I liked, but that was even older. But I just fell off of first person shooters, and I love them. And what brought me back in was Doom 2016.
Shit.
Like, Doom was
fantastic. Yeah, man.
And I kind of was like, oh, this is what I loved. You know, Doom has its own flavor, you know? It wasn't like Call of Duty or whatever. It feels kind of bland. Like, Doom was just frantic, and it had all this, like, fucking heart in it. And it was great. That brought me right back to first-person shooters.
Nice. What about you, Rich? Is there any genre you came back to after not playing it for a while? And what game was it specifically that did it for you?
So that's a great question. Well, I've always been very hesitant to try certain genres, and it wasn't really until, like, for example, the RPG genre. Our very good friend, Mr. Gary Swaby, as well as some of you. I mean, I've heard everybody telling me, "Yeah, you need to play Final Fantasy. It's a great game." To this day, I still haven't played Final Fantasy, but I played a lot of other RPGs that and I think what really made me curious to get into our RPGs, specifically action RPGs, hands down, Nier Automata.
Nice.
Right after I played that game, I remember that was the first game where they had a demo of it available. It was a demo on, I guess it was on the PSN store. right after I tried that demo, I said, oh, I have to get this game, because I was completely sold with the demo. Then I played the game. I enjoyed it a lot. Ever since that, then, yeah, I play a lot of RPGs. The RPG I was talking about last year a lot, Sea of Stars, fantastic game. And I actually have been playing another RPG recently, but I can't talk about that yet. I will just say, the RPG, that is sort of like, that's probably the genre that I'm really the most interested in now. I still like survival horror games. I still like action and a lot of the big AAA titles. But RPGs, I'm willing to give any RPG a chance, regardless of whether it's made, whether it's the JRPG or whatever. So I, at some point, I will try Final Fantasy, but I don't know which Final Fantasy to play yet. So I have to consult with a couple people before I make that decision.
Yeah, we can help you out with that, you know. Yeah, it's good stuff. I do want to kind of go back to one thing, Carlos, what you said, because I agree with everything you said about Elden Ring. But I was thinking while you were talking about it, I was like, how come that didn't give me that same feeling as you? Because obviously, like, I loved the game, you know, like, arguably Game of the Generation. But what was it about, you know, fighting games that got me back into it, or specifically Marvel vs. Capcom? You know what it was? With Elden Ring, remember, I got into From Software games as an adult. Fully formed adult. Yeah. There was no connection to the childhood. Manny could tell you this. Back in the 90s, my main genre was fighting games, Capcom fighting games specifically. So every time I play Marvel vs. Capcom, and even the new Street Fighter VI, I have that connection to Tony from 30 years ago, and it's special. That's why I even said, half jokingly, half serious, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when I used to be a gamer. You know, like, that was life. You know, like, even with Elden Ring, that those games came in when I was an adult. So it's like, okay, these games aren't life. These games are what I do away from my life, you know, which is work and shit. But back when I was a kid, that's all I fucking did all day, bruh. Plays fucking fighting games, you know. But I agree with you, man. Those games like that, like Elden Ring, remind you of why you got into gaming in the first place, you know. It's like so fucking good. And even other games too, like Stellar Blade. I'm like, oh man, I miss playing these type of games. You know, like, I remember those kind of games were abundant in the PS2 era. And I said the same thing when I played Nier Automata. I'm like, oh, I miss these type of games, you know?
That's a good one.
It's kind of interesting, right? I was like, a lot of the genres we grew up with aren't really around as much anymore, you know? Like, man, like you said, side-scrolling beat-ups, that was life too. You know, playing all those fucking games.
Well, you know? And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where you guys were at this time. I don't know if we even knew each other at that point. But I felt the same about that. And I remember Castle Crashers came out, and I was like, "Oh, this is it."
That was hype. That was hype. That was a great game, Castle Crashers, man. I played the out of that game. You know.
Why the hell hasn't there been another one?
Yeah, right. It's interesting. But see, Castle Crashers, then, like, shortly after that, we had the Scott Pilgrim game. So we still had our nice little beat 'em up games here and there. But yeah, with Streets of Rage 4 dropped, everybody was like, oh shit, let's go. You know? And
with Turtles.
You know, Turtles, you know. And with Streets of Rage 4 specifically, was even more special about that was, remember, that game dropped during the pandemic, you know? So when Manny and I were playing, and among other friends, it was nice to play that, remember our childhood, and get away from all that bullshit that was happening in the real world, you know? So, yeah. Ooh, man. It was funny you bring that up, Manny, because I was thinking about getting back into Streets of Rage 4, too, because that game has a lot of fighting game mechanics in it, too. You know, a bunch of combos and mechanics and shit. Great game. Game. Too, you know,
and they updated fairly recently, you know, and same thing with the Turtles game. They added two more new characters, like Mondo Gecko and Mona Lisa from the original show. Yeah,
because I only ever played that game once. It was me, Adam, Chris, and Carlos. We played it on Steam Deck. We beat the whole game in one sitting. But I never went back to it, you know. But yeah, good stuff, man. But yeah, besides all beat 'em ups for life, man. Great, great stuff. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Another good show. Rich, what's coming up for the coalition this week that you're allowed to talk about?
That's a good way to preference it. First and foremost, Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself, we just recorded tonight the latest episode of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. very, very, very interesting episode. Very, very good. Although there was one point in it that I think Carlos didn't like, but you need to check out our review.
But yeah.
Oh, I think you cut out the last part, Rich. You said Carlos didn't like it, and then after that, what happened?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. Yeah, well, no. Definitely, you'll need to listen to our review to figure out what we didn't like about it. So check that out. It's on the website. It's also on our YouTube Coalition YouTube channel.
There you go.
As for other stuff, there's a lot of reviews coming this week. A lot of different things coming from various people on the team. A lot, you know, we're very busy this time of the year, so stay tuned for that. What else can I talk about? Oh yeah, lastly, if you want to hear our thoughts on any upcoming movies, you know, we are going to have some other discussions on the Coalition Entertainment channel, but I will say, if you are a horror fan and you've heard of a movie called Smile 2, I would implore you to check out the review discussion I did with Dana this past, you know, a couple days ago for that movie. By far, one of the scariest movies of the year, and I'm not hesitating when I say that. So check out our review, hear what we had to say. That's over on the Coalition Entertainment channel. But yeah, stay tuned. A lot of gaming stuff coming this week.
What's up, Young Savage? You're arriving just as we're wrapping up. But make sure you listen to the rest of the show, man. Rewind it, you know. Rewind the tape. Oh, man. All right, we are done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Also, be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app to listen to us in case you weren't here to join us live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, man, we're out. Coming back on Thursday, and we will have Mr. Andre Tipton on to talk about the video games. Later.
Laters.